Yes, this morning I want to follow on what we had talked about, and we'd used a clip from Graham Cook, teaching a few weeks ago from knowing God's voice, and so we're going to follow on with that this morning. We can identify God's voice from all the other voices and noise in our lives, and we understand the nature of God. And as we previously looked at, we looked at God revealing himself in Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 and 7, where he says, told Moses, and he showed Moses himself, and he says, he doesn't change. He is slow to anger. He is compassionate and forgiving. And we know that his words to us will exhibit these attributes. And Graham Gardine's sermon to us last week on the Beatitudes revealed more of the attributes Jesus wants to see in his followers as well. When we begin to recognize the nature of God, then we can begin to understand how he wants us to be, and in what way our minds need to be renewed and changed. How we can begin to have that unity that exists between the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, as Jesus was, as it was written in John, Jesus prayed for us. There's another step in understanding the position that God has created for us in his kingdom. We're not to be servants, but to be daughters and sons of the living God. I want to play another excerpt from Graham Cook, entitled Pray With God, Not To God. And I hope this takes us and another step in our understanding of our place in God's kingdom. So, Joe, thanks.
The Lord God loves to give. James put it this way in James 1:17. He said, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow or variation. He's always the same. You always know where you are with God because he never changes. He's always the same. He's the easiest person to be with. He is the most gracious, the kindest, the happiest, sunniest person I've ever met in my entire life. He's wonderful, he's easy to be with. He's kind, he's merciful. He has a way of seeing and a way of thinking that's incredible, that actually is marvelous. Because when you understand how God thinks about things, like, he steadfastly refuses ever to work on a negative. Because there's nothing negative about him. What he does is he gives us the anointing to convert that negative thing into something else. But he doesn't see a problem. He sees a possibility. We'll talk about that in the next session. So God gives us the ability to convert a problem into a provision. He never works on a negative. He just says, listen, if all your thinking has brought you to a place you don't like, have another thought. What are you doing messing with that thought? Why not ask the Lord to give you a better thought? Isn't that what the mind of Christ is all about? Why are we stuck on thoughts that are generated by the world around us when we have a whole kingdom on the inside of us that thinks completely differently? Never work on a negative thought. Just change it for a better one and work on that. Don't work on the old man because it's dead. Work on the new man because he's alive. In fact, God gives you permission. Why don't you just consider yourself to be dead and be alive to me? And I'll teach you what being alive to me is really all about. I want to give you things. I want you to posture yourself to receive. And let me do something else from the Bible. Listen to this, Romans 11, 35. Who has first given to him that it might be paid back to him again? Rhetorical question. The answer is no one. No one. John the Baptist said a man can receive nothing unless it's given to him from heaven. We don't give to God out of our own initiative. We receive from God and we give back to him what he gave us. Let's carry on reading. Who's first given to him that it might be paid back to him again? Then he says, for from him and through him and to him are all things. Da, da, da. What does that mean? The whole of the Godhead is involved in relationship with you. So, it's like this big circle that you're a part of. From the Father, through Jesus in you, because all of heaven's attracted to Jesus in you, and then back to the Father by the Holy Spirit. From him, through him, to him, are all things. That's all y'all in Texas. All y'all is in that somewhere. From him, through him, to him. Life in the Spirit works brilliantly when you know that you have to receive first. There's always something that God wants to give you. Sometimes you know when you get up in the morning, you know there's a thought in your head or something, or just something going on in your spirit, a worship song or something, because we never exit worship. But if it's not, if you're overwhelmed or overloaded by things, pretty much doesn't matter. That's what the gift of tongues is for. It allows you just to worship God, and it bypasses everything that would seek to hold you down. It's a brilliant gift. The enemy has never worked out how to oppose it. You can speak in tongues, and then there are those wonderful days when God allows you to interpret your own tongue and you realize what you're praying. See, God loves to be in communication with us. You ever wondered why God never answers some prayers? It's because he didn't like it. But he just needs to Jesus praying for us at Hebrews 7:25, because he ever lives to make intercession for us. And Romans 8 says the Holy Spirit prays for us, intercedes for us with groanings. He groans because he has to live with us, right? He's groaning. When is that boy ever going to get it? Is he ever going to get it? He's English. Do they ever get anything in English? So God, sometimes we're praying over here and he's going, no, seriously, no. I want to answer this prayer. No, that's why Jesus said, asking, keep on asking. God said, no, I'm not answering that prayer, seriously. That's a boring prayer, I'm not answering it. I want to answer this one. Keep asking. Keep asking. Keep asking. Warmer. There we go. What are we learning? We have prayer in stereo from two of the most important people in the Godhead. Jesus, who always prays for us. The Holy Spirit, who groans for us, over us. So we have prayer going on in stereo. So what if you are the third part of a threefold cook? What if prayer is not about praying to God? It's about praying with God. Yeah? That's why we should worship, because when you worship, you get in a place to listen. And when you give thanks, 1 Thessalonians 5, it has prayer as a worship sandwich. Rejoice in the Lord always. Pray without ceasing in everything you give thanks. Yeah? So we rejoice twice as much as we pray, And that makes all of our praying effective. Yeah? So we're learning to pray with God. Why? Because we're learning to listen. So what are you praying right now, Jesus? I mean, aren't you curious? You're curious. What's he praying? What's the Holy Spirit praying? Are those two agreeing? From him, through him, to him. You're part of this incredible relational cycle. Every day your life is answering the prayer of Jesus in John 17, that they may be one even as we are one. Yeah? Is that oneness? God put Christ into you so you would always be one with him. So you'd always know his presence, because he never leaves you, nor forsakes you. And so you'd always have something to receive, and therefore something to give. So nothing initiates in us. It takes God to love God. As he is, so are we in this world. We're learning how to be in the same relationship with the Father that Jesus is. All of heaven is attracted to Jesus in you. You have to become world class at receiving.
Well, there's a few things there for us to think about, isn't there? The cycle, and I just want to emphasise some points, just in case you didn't manage to soak it in on the way through, that I got out of it. Firstly, we need to understand that God doesn't need anything from us, but he wants to share all that he has with us and to be able to trust us with that incredible gift that he's given us. We receive from the Father through Jesus, and as prompted by the Holy Spirit within us, we offer this back to the Father. And I think Kay shared this about the Godhead and the triune God and the closeness of that relationship a few weeks back as well. And how incredible that is. Understanding God's nature helps us align our prayers and our actions with his. Listening to the Holy Spirit, witnessing in our own lives and in our own hearts, that little voice, our conscience, sometimes people call it too. Reading the Word of God, thinking about it, taking it into our hearts and allowing it to change our lives. Worship helps us to come to a position of focusing on God, and can bring us to a position of listening and hearing his voice as well. And if we're receiving from God, then we'll always have something to give to others and to offer to God back again, thus completing the circle. So we need to receive from God his forgiveness, his grace, his richness, and then as we work, deal with others and implement that love and those principles in our lives, that completes the circle. In Matthew 6:33 it says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Where are our minds really at? Are we just fully consumed with getting ahead in the world, maintaining our own security and comfort, or are we asking God daily to help us see how he wants us to use our time, energy and assets? And our talking with God, are we willing to allow our minds to be changed and receive his view of how he wants us to be? Or are we hanging on to our old selves and our old habits? What God wants is to share his richness and his riches of the relationship he has within the Godhead with us. Now, I want to conclude with a story that I heard this week that Stephanie's parents shared at home group. And I better be careful here because I might get it wrong, have somebody stand up and say no. I'll ruin my sermon. Anyway, well, hopefully I've got the basic facts right. And amongst all the trauma that is happening to refugees, particularly those in Syria, ones coming out from there and making their way into Germany, we understand that some wonderful things are happening. And what Gunther Rose shared, some of these things may have a positive effect on the church in places like Germany and in our church too, when these people come here. Because so many have been uprooted from their culture and homes, often in brutal circumstances, they are seriously questioning the values that have been, they've been brought up with, and many are open to hearing about Christ. They shared a story of one such young man who found Christ and was being nurtured by a house church group in the camps on his journey to Germany. I think that's right, isn't it? Part of the teaching he received was that he should only tell Jesus his material needs and no one else. In Germany, he was asked by a church group to share his experiences, expecting that he would share about all the trauma of the journey. However, all this young man wanted to share was how wonderful Jesus was and how he had met all his needs, and he wanted them to share in this joy too. He did, however, tell them that he had taken this teaching he had received in the house church to heart. He had desperately needed work to support himself, so he had asked Jesus for work. As he was walking along the street later, a person stopped him and offered him a job. That's a story, isn't it? Yeah. Now, this is a challenge to the way we naturally operate, particularly in the West, where often our material needs are met. Yet this young man put God's kingdom first. He sought God's kingdom first and then believed in Jesus that all his other needs would be met. God wants us to put our trust in him, to look at people and circumstances through his eyes and let him provide all we need to accomplish his work. Then we will flourish like an olive tree in his kingdom. Now, I just want us to take a moment to reflect on this and then to come into God's presence individually and ask Jesus this morning to become the focus of our lives so that we can enter into that unity with the Father that he prayed that we would have. That our understanding would begin to align with God's mind. I want you to bring before him your needs. Maybe you lack his joy. You can only see negativity all around you. This is not God's desire for you. So ask for him to change your thinking this morning. Maybe you constantly worry and fear the future. Maybe you have a physical and material needs to live. Maybe you have old habits that prevent you from living as God wants you to do. Ask that they will be broken this morning. So let's just come quietly before God this morning and do that in our hearts now. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we give you all our brokenness this morning, all our negativity. Come, fill us with your mind. Change our hearts. Let us know that we are forgiven. Let us know that we are loved. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts that we have this opportunity of knowing you, of being part of your family, that we can bring all our needs to you and know that you hear us and answer. Heavenly Father, we bring before you the needs of others this morning too. Particularly we think of those people who have been uprooted around the world, who have been herded from their homes, killed, maimed, and who are wondering what the world is doing to them and where there is safety. Father, we pray that they may meet you in their need. Lord, we confess that there's man that is doing this to man, not you. But your desire is to bring healing, peace, and love and joy to us. Father, we choose you this morning to follow you. In Jesus' name.